We just finished last week our series on lifesavers, and today you may see this title, and I hope a game comes to your mind. Hide and seek. I hope a game comes to your mind. It's a game that I played a lot when I was a little child, and you know the premise, right? There's one who hides their eyes, and they count, and you count whether you count one Mississippi or whether you count Mississippi less. You count to whatever number is agreed upon. And then you go and you seek those who are hiding. Now I want to tell you about one particular time when I was a little child, and we had four kids in our family. It was me and my three sisters. And then we had the cousins over. Actually, it was 4th of July, and July 1st here, 4th of July in the States, you know how that goes. It was 4th of July, and we had a bunch of family out, and our parents let all the kids play hide-and-go-seek in the dark. And man, it was so much fun. We had an absolute blast, and of course, we played outside, and then my parents had a whole bunch of trees, and they had these nice, really big, they're called post-oak trees, and they're very solid. They don't move when you hit them. And so I was being sought, and I had hidden, and somebody had, the seeker had seen me, but the rule was that you weren't it unless you got tagged, right? And so we began to run towards base, and I'm running as hard as I can run, and looking behind me, and you can see where this story is going. And I met that tree going as hard and as fast as I could go, just trying to run to base. Hide and seek. You know, I want to get that game in our mind, because sometimes I think when we think of God, when we think of walking with God, when we think of relationship with God, if you're here today and you're maybe seeking out what might be a relationship with God, you're wondering, what's it like? I don't know what this whole Christian thing really means. Well, it means relationship, right relationship with God. And some of us, when we think of that relationship, it feels like we're playing hide and go seek. And I may be seeking, but God is hiding. And I'm having a hard time finding him. Well, for the next couple weeks here, we're going to be looking at what it means to seek God out. But before we can look at what it means to seek God out, I wanted us to talk this morning about how important it is for us to seek God out. And today, it doesn't matter if you're here and you've been a follower of Jesus for your entire life. We need to be seeking God out. It doesn't matter if maybe you just this week decided, you know what, Jesus is who he says he is. He did what he said he came to do. I want to know what it means to be a follower of his. You need to seek God out. If you're here this morning and you say, I'm just exploring this whole Christianity thing. I'm just exploring this whole church thing. I don't know exactly where I fall in this place yet. You need to seek God out. And we're going to look at the foundation for that. We're going to look in what we call the Old Testament, that time recording that we have of God's word before Jesus, before he sent Jesus to the earth. It's not before Jesus, but it's before Jesus was sent. We're going to look in the Old Testament, and we're going to look in the New Testament. So join me if you will. We're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 4. And in the first few are just going to be single verses, but they're important, they're key verses, and I'm going to give you a little bit of context behind them. Okay? So if you're here this morning and you feel like sometimes I try to seek God out, but it feels like he's hiding from me, I want to dispel that based on God's word. That he gives us some promises, and the God that we serve is a big God, and if he makes a promise, he can deliver, and not only can he deliver, but he will deliver on his promise. Okay? What he says, you can take to be absolutely true. I can take to be absolutely true. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 4. We have a leader of God's people that he's appointed, and his name is Moses, and the people of God have been wandering in the desert for a long time. In fact, they've been wandering for decades, and God's been providing them food, and he's been providing them enough water. He's been showing them all their needs, and he's getting ready to take his people. He's just delivered them out of slavery. They've been wandering in a desert, and he's getting ready to take them into a land that he has promised them, a land that he says is flowing with milk and honey. It's a prosperous land. He's getting ready to take them there, but he has some words to give through his prophet first. And Moses is saying, he says, people of Israel, God's people, He says, I have walked with you. I have wandered in this desert with you. I have followed God with you. And I've seen obedience and I've seen disobedience. And God's getting ready to take you into the land that he's promised you. He's getting ready to do that. He's getting ready to fulfill what he promised. But you're going to get there, and there's not going to be too much time that passes, and you're going to forget. You're going to forget the promises that you have made to God, the commitment you have made to God, and you're going to turn from him, and you're going to start building idols again because you can't see God. He's not a man that stands before you. But you're going to start forming these idols again. It's just a trap that you fall into. And you're going to make these idols, and you're going to turn from God, and you're going to make God angry. He says you're going to go this way for a little while, but don't be too scared, because you can't get too far away, because God is always going to provide. He's always going to save at least a portion of you, no matter how unfaithful you are. He will make sure he provides a way for you. But you'll get to a point where you say, what in the world are we doing? Why are we worshiping these idols? Why are we worshiping these things that we have carved or that we have molded? When the God of the universe, the God that created everything, the God that delivered our people out of slavery, the God that led us through a desert, when he's there and we can worship him and honor him. And he says, when you get to that point, Deuteronomy 4:29 says, when you get to that point, from there, you will search for the Lord your God, and you will find him when you seek him with all your heart and all your soul. You see, an important part of seeking God is to say, God, I will do whatever it takes to find you. I will do whatever it takes to find out who you are. I will give up everything so that I can know you. He says, from there, when you get to that point where you get so sick, you get so fed up with worshiping the things that don't satisfy, worshiping the things that aren't me. Okay, let's talk about maybe, we talked about the Israelites and the idols that they formed. Let's talk about Calgarians. Okay, and if you're here and maybe you live in Calgary, but you're like, I'm not a Calgarian. Well, whatever Ian you are, okay? I am so sick of buying the lie that if I can just get another promotion, if I can just buy this house, if I can get that move up home, if I can get this boat, if I could get the cabin. I'm so sick of that. I'm so sick of thinking, if I could just have the perfect family. I'm so sick of just insert whatever it is. I've been seeking all these things that are supposed to bring me joy, but they're not bringing me joy. I'm seeking all these things that are supposed to be fulfilling me, but they're not. When you get there, turn and seek God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, and he says you will find him. And we're going to get here in just a little bit when we get to the New Testament especially. But when he says you'll find him, that means he's got to be waiting somewhere, right? Well, we're going to get to the New Testament here in just a few moments, and it says, not only is he going to be waiting somewhere, he's actually seeking us out. Okay. That's Deuteronomy 4. Let's look at another place where God tells us to seek him. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Old Testament review today. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. We're going to be in verse 9. But this is the account, and the Chronicles is basically a chronicle of history, okay? There's a lot of stories of the history of God's people. And there's a king who is on the throne. His name is King David. Okay, anybody remember the story of David and Goliath? Okay, that was before David actually became king. God anointed him. He became king. He followed Saul. David is king, and he's been having this inkling, and he wants to build this massive worship space. He wants to build this temple so that the people of God can worship him there, and so that the Ark of the Covenant, where God's presence resided, it could have a proper house. It could have a proper place to stay. But God told David, David, the temple isn't for you to build, but it's for your son Solomon to build. He's supposed to do it. So David says, okay. God, if you want my son to build it, I'm going to task him. It's a task that you've given him, but I'm going to commission him to do it. Can you imagine being David's son Solomon, okay? You're David's son Solomon. You've been growing up in the king's house. You've had every privilege. You've had all this training. You've wanted for nothing. Life has been fairly easy. But all of a sudden, dad comes to you, king comes to you, king daddy. He comes to you and he says, son, you're going to build a house where God's presence will reside. Heavy. Fairly heavy task. Right? You got to have the right specifications. You need to do everything everything to the specifications that honors God. Big task. Let's look at 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. David has just said, okay, God, if you want Solomon to build it, I'm gonna give my son that assignment. He'll build it. He says, as for you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father. Serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind, for the Lord searches every heart and understands the intentions of every thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Verse 10 goes on to say, realize now that the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. David says, I know this is a monumental task. I know this is going to be hard, son. I know that you're going to face some challenges here. But what does he say? Does he say, go out and seek the best engineers, go out and seek the best architects that we have, find the best technology that we can find? First thing he tells his son to do. He says, know the God of your father. Know the God that I have served. Don't know about him, know him. Serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind, for the Lord searches every heart, understands the intention of every thought. He says, if you seek God on this, if you seek him, he will be found by you. If you seek him. Right? Remember, hide and go seek the game. Once you've counted and you lift up your eyes, you're looking in every nook and cranny that a person could humanly fit into. Sometimes people surprise you. But you're looking, you're seeking. David is telling his son, you have a monumental task set before you. But if you seek God out on this thing, son, you'll find him. And if you find him, he will lead you through your task that's been given you. He'll lead you through. All right, moving on. We're going to go to the New Testament now. Okay, we've jumped thousands of years ahead. Jesus has been sent to the earth by his Father. Remember, Jesus wasn't created. He was sent. Jesus always has been, always will be. He was born of a virgin. He grew up in a home that loved God, that honored God. He grew up learning and spending time with his Father. He grew up in the synagogue learning about the Word. He grew up as fully God, fully man. Our minds can't comprehend it, but this is the Jesus that we serve. And Jesus, in Matthew chapter 6, he's delivering what we call, it's a very famous sermon or a message given by Jesus. It's called the Sermon on the Mount, okay? And in that sermon, he begins talking about how God is the provider of everything. About, he's asking the question, now, why do we fret about the clothes that we will wear? Why do we fret about the things that we will eat or the water that we'll drink? Why do we fret about these things? He gives us an assignment. He gives us a direction. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be provided for you. He says, if you'll just worry about seeking God and his kingdom and his righteousness, God is going to add all these things. He will bring the things that he's promised. You just need to be concerned about seeking after him and his kingdom. Be concerned about seeking the righteousness in your life that only God can bring. He goes on to say in verse 34, he says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus himself, the very Son of God, the one that 100% God, 100% man, he said, it wasn't just the prophets of God who said, seek God and you'll find him. Jesus said, your main purpose is to seek God with all of your heart. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Okay, we're going to go to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And here's where we're going to rest just for a few minutes. This is a story about a man named Zacchaeus. Anybody recognize that name? If you grew up in church, you may have heard a song. Okay, I'm not going to sing it for you. Right? I know, I'm sorry, but people need to come back. In Luke 19, we have the story of a man named Zacchaeus, and he was a wee little man, as the song says. Maybe a familiar story to you, maybe the first time you heard this story. But I want to invite you to read it along with me. It'll be up on the screen. He, being Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. There was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but he was not able because of the crowd, since he was a short man. So running ahead, he climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus, since he was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, because today I must stay at your house." So he quickly came down and welcomed him joyfully. All who saw it began to complain, "He's gone to lodge with a sinful man." And many might have said, "He's gone to lodge with a sinful man again." Because Jesus was famous for doing these kinds of things. And the religious people of the day were famous for being upset at him for doing these kinds of things. "He's gone to lodge with a sinful man." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor, Lord. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay back four times as much." "Today salvation has come to this house," Jesus told him, "because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." Let me read that last part one more time. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." Here we have Zacchaeus, a tax collector. If you remember when we talked about Matthew just a few weeks ago, if you were here with us a few weeks ago, when we talked about Matthew, how Matthew was a tax collector, much like Zacchaeus, to say they were not the most liked individuals in town would be a huge understatement. They cheated people. The more they cheated people, the richer they became. And it says here in Luke 19 that Zacchaeus was a very rich man. He had cheated people. He was the one that signed up to take money from people that went to a government that particularly the Jewish people didn't necessarily like and weren't convinced that they needed to give money to anyway. Zacchaeus was not a well-liked man. But he had heard about this guy, and this guy was going around and he was healing people. This guy was going around and he was talking to people, and he was preaching, he was speaking about God in a way that no one had ever heard before. And there was something about this guy, Jesus, that Zacchaeus, he wanted to see him. He'd heard about him. He'd heard about the things he was doing, but he wanted to see him. But there was one problem. Zacchaeus couldn't see over anybody. Vertically challenged was this man. And so when Jesus was coming in, and great crowds always followed Jesus at this point, he did what any short person might do. He found a way to grow. And he climbed up that tree. And we just read the story. You know the story. But he was doing whatever he could do to seek Jesus out. And for him, the best thing he could think of was the vantage point of some branch on some tree. It's the best vantage point that I can muster up. But I am seeking Jesus out. South winds? Sometimes I think we could learn a thing or two from Zacchaeus. Sometimes I think when we think about seeking God out, when we think about a relationship with God, man, God, I don't even know, how do you have a relationship with someone you can't see? How do you have a relationship with someone that you can't sit at Tim Hortons with and have a conversation? That you can audibly hear them back? Well, Zacchaeus didn't know exactly how he was going to see Jesus. He didn't know exactly how he was going to even fathom ever meeting Jesus, but he sought him out. Zacchaeus, he did what he could do to seek out Jesus. And what did Jesus tell him? He said, "Well, First of all, the most important thing, he says, today's salvation has come to this house. Literally, salvation had come to that house because Jesus was there, and Jesus is salvation. Okay? Literally, salvation is sitting in your home, Zacchaeus. I'm here. And I'm the only way that you're going to find salvation. And Jesus sees people in a way that no other people can see them. He sees their heart. And he saw the heart of Zacchaeus. And he said, not only is salvation literally here today, but Zacchaeus, salvation has come to your house today. And he told him something very important. We've read it twice already. Let me read it one more time. Verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. God has been telling us all throughout history, seek me with all of your heart. Seek me with everything that you are. When you do that, you're going to find me. And Jesus gave us a huge piece of that. God has told us to seek him. What did Jesus tell us in the very same, in verse 10? Jesus tells us, I am seeking you. You begin to seek me if you turn around and just begin to take a step towards seeking me, you'll find me because I'm seeking you. Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. That's John 14:6. We talked about John 14:6 a little bit last week. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, when we looked at Deuteronomy and the people that Moses was prophesying would wander away, that turning and seeking God was the way back. When Jesus says, I am the way, it's much like this, that verse in Deuteronomy 4:29. Seek me with all of your heart and with all of your soul. And when you seek me, you'll find me because I am the way back. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9, when David was commissioning his son Solomon to say, God's given you a monumental task. You need to build this temple. Solomon hadn't turned and he hadn't been bowing down to idols. He had been faithful, and he wanted to be faithful. Now, Solomon, David for sure wasn't perfect. His dad, Solomon, for sure wasn't perfect. But you know what? For all of us, even if we're actively seeking out a relationship with God, if we're actively seeking Jesus, God tells us, you keep doing that, and I'll show you the way to accomplish the plans I have for you. I'll show you how. Matthew 6:33. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life himself said, seek him. Seek God. By seeking God, you seek me. He said, seek first the kingdom of God, and God's going to give you everything you need for the life I have for you to live. Everything you need. Zacchaeus, a tax collector, hated by his peers, despised by the people that he lived amongst, said, I don't know what to do with all that. All I know is that there's something that's compelling me that I need to seek Jesus. And Jesus said, I am seeking you. Hide and seek. When it feels like God is hiding from us, he's not. When it feels like I don't know what the next step is. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about some ways that we can practically seek Jesus out in our everyday life. But today, I want us to be sure and go away with, even if I don't know, maybe I'm going to stumble around this thing like playing hide-and-go-seek in the dark, and I may feel like I run smack dab into a tree as I'm doing this thing. But it is vitally important that we are to seek God out with everything that we are. That we're to do exactly what his son Jesus told us to do, is seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. If we've been going after, and it, you know what, guys, we can fall into this Maybe we were just at church last week. We thought, okay, God, yes, I'm on the right track. Things are going good. But then maybe this week I found myself just being so caught up in and so worried about the things that the world tells us we need to have and the things that we need to achieve, and I've totally forgot about seeking God and His kingdom first. It can creep up on us. But I hope that you're here. If you're here and you've been following Jesus for a long time, I hope you're encouraged and exhorted to go out and keep doing that. If you've been struggling and maybe in finding the people of peace that you've been asked to find, just keep seeking Jesus. I want to tell you a little bit more about God's provision. One of our summer verses this year is Philippians chapter 1. Found in Philippians chapter 1, it's starting in verse 3. And this is Paul. He's written a letter. And he's saying, if I could just get there. As Paul addresses the people of Philippi, he says, I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Southwinds, God has told us as a church, I want to use you to start other churches. Now, if you're here this morning, you know we're not the biggest church in all the world, okay? We're not the biggest church in all of our city. But God's told us to do something. And if we'll seek His kingdom first and His righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to have riches. That doesn't mean we're going to, you know, have abundance of stuff that we're just, you know, we're wiping our noses with $100 bills. It's not what He's saying. Says, you follow me and I'll take care of you. You follow me and I'll provide for you. I want to share about some ways that He has provided for us just this week. There's a church called Oak Grove Baptist Church down in Burleson, Texas, and it's where I grew up. It's the church I grew up in. And they see what God is doing here. And they want to support what God is doing here. And they've sent teams of people every year to work with us to try to engage the people in our communities. And this week they had something called Vacation Bible School. And it's where children go, and they go to these classes they're not really even classes, but they go have fun for half a day at the church, and they learn about people that are taking Jesus to all the world. They learn songs to sing about God. They learn Bible verses. They learn stories about God. They play fun games. It's so much fun for these kids, but they're encouraged to bring some change every night. Bring change, and what change they bring that night is going to go to a specific ministry. Did you know that Wednesday night was the night that they said, okay, boys and girls, everything that you bring today is going to be given to Southwinds Church in Calgary, Alberta. It's going to be given so that the people of Oak Grove can use it to reach the children and the families of that community. Do you know that children, kindergarten to grade 5, children gave $187 that night, Wednesday night? Isn't that cool? I think that's amazing. I thank God for every remembrance I have of Oak Grove Baptist Church. And I thank them for their partnership in the gospel. And it's not just financial, but that's one of the ways that God's providing. Now, let's fast forward to Thursday night. Thursday night, we've been informed that some of you here may know the guys from Boyd Avenue Baptist Church. Okay? Quinn and Ed are the pastors there. Quinn's the lead pastor. Ed's the youth pastor. Many of you know them. And the youth, they bring every summer to work with us at basketball camp. Well, there's an association-wide, a statewide camp that happens for teenagers called Summit. Happens every summer. Last year, they chose, the students gave an offering at the end of this camp, and these guys they spend a week on a mountain, and they're praising God, and they're playing games, and they're being discipled. They're learning about Jesus, how to follow Jesus. And they give an offering every year, and every year that offering goes to a different ministry. Well, last year that offering went to us. And over $1,400 was given to Southwinds Church so that we could use it to further God's kingdom here. Now this year, when they asked Ed, because Ed is one of the directors of this camp, they said, Ed, where should the offering go this year when they were starting to plan camp? And Ed said, I don't really know. To tell you the truth, I haven't really thought about it yet. And the other directors came to him and said, Ed, what do you think about it going back to Calgary? What do you think about that? Ed said, absolutely. So for the next 2 years, they've decided to partner with us in helping us share the good news of Jesus. Do you know I got a text on Thursday night? $2,338 given by grade 7 to 12 students. And they gave not just because they think, you know what, hey, sure, people in Calgary could use this. But they gave because they're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. They gave, I believe, because I pray we're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that we're being like, hopefully, like Zacchaeus and doing whatever we can to get to whatever vantage point to seek Jesus out. Southwinds, God is bringing us partnerships and providing through us. Partnerships that are sending people to help us. Partnerships that are praying for us. Partnerships that are sending resources to help us. God's providing. And I pray that you're encouraged by that today. I was encouraged by that this week. We can be grateful for a God that provides. If we're here and we're followers of Jesus, if we claim that we follow him, we must seek his will, his way, his truth, and his life. Are we seeking after the things that bring us temporary joy or bring us temporary happiness? Or are we seeking after the one that brings us everything we need and allows us to be part of his kingdom work? Maybe, are you here today? And you say, Bo, when you say follower of Jesus, I don't even know what that fully means. But are you here today maybe exploring a relationship with God? Exploring what it means what does it mean to worship God? What does it mean to walk with God, to have God in my life? If you're here today, then we want you to know that you can only have that by his son, Jesus. You can only have that because of what God did through his son, Jesus. And if you'd like to explore that further, we would love to talk with you today. But I'll say this, do whatever God might bring to mind, whatever comes to your heart, just seek out Jesus. I'm going to say, maybe start by reading the book of John. It's a great place to start seeking out who is Jesus. It's in the New Testament. But if you're here today and you want to know more about having a right relationship with God, we would love to talk with you today. I'll be in the back during this last song. Holly will be in the back joining me for this last song. If you need to talk, if you need to pray, we would love to do that. If today you're here and maybe you've been a follower of Jesus and you just think, I haven't been seeking him with everything that I am, make that commitment today.